including, do we have anything to give away? Is there anything that we can give away?
Let me check.
All right. Because I want to launch
we can just give something away anyway.
Yeah. I want to launch a new public health campaign here on this show. And we're going to have a contest to come up with a jingle. But if we don't have anything to give away,
we seem to have, you know, we're the only show.
We have nothing to give away?
That seems to have nothing to give away.
All right, here's the thing.
We'll find something.
Well, no, we won't do the contest. I'll announce the contest today, but we won't accept entries until tomorrow. And then by tomorrow, we'll get some hopeless piece of garbage from Tristano. But here's the campaign. We want a brief jingle, not a lengthy jingle, composed by you, with lyrics by you, to introduce the concept, flick, don't squash. All right? And here's what that means.
Flick, don't squash.
Don't squash. And that should probably be the name of the jingle. Flick, don't squash. Because medical experts say people who squash mosquitoes against their skin could increase the risk of serious infection. Doctors in the United States are warning people to avoid the natural response to squash the insects, but instead recommend giving the bloodsuckers a flick. The warning comes after a 57-year-old Pennsylvania woman died in 2002 from a fungal infection in her muscles called Brachiola algeri. And the doctors indicated that a simple mosquito bite could not have caused the infection due to the fact that the saliva of a mosquito does not contain the fungus responsible for that infection. However, the fungus is found within the body of the insect. So writing in the New England Journal of Medicine, a journal that I occasionally contribute to, doctors believe the woman probably developed the infection by smearing the body parts of the insect into a bite. In other words, the insect has, with its disgusting snout, opened up a hole in your flesh. Are you following me?
I'm all over it.
It seems like your attention is wandering.
Not at all. I'm finding it fascinating.
So the insect with its disgusting snout has opened up a hole in your flesh.
You know why it was kind of like...
Right.
When did you contribute to the New England Journal of Medicine? When did that happen?
I miss something? Some of my experiments in cardiology and rheumatology have been...
All right.
The peer-reviewed ones, obviously.
Natural reaction with mosquitoes is, though, to jam them right into your, smack them.
That's the natural reaction, but we're asking people to go the extra step.
Yeah.
Because what's happening is, so there's already a little tunnel into your inner parts, and then you squash the mosquito, and all the disgusting stuff inside the mosquito can now get into your inner parts.
It goes right in. Yeah.
Yeah. So, flick, don't squash.
Is this a...
don't squash, flick.
Flick, don't squash is good. Did you come up with that, or is that a national...
No, flick, don't squash is my particular. Uh-huh. But my thought is that we'll have a jingle competition. I'm not looking for freaking Coleridge, Rhyme of the Ancient Mosquito Mariner. I mean, just a brief, 4 to 6 line jingle. Something along those lines. Possibly to an existing tune.
Not everybody has access, though, to a recording facility.
No, they can call and sing it to us over the phone.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, I'll run the air tomorrow. We'll pick out a time tomorrow, and they'll call up, and they'll say, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Just make up your little song. And whichever one we like the best, we'll give a prize to.
As long as you promise.
Yeah.
Not to sit there and go, listen to these idiots.
No, I'm supportive. I'm going to be honest. Let me make this pledge, all right?
Okay.
I'm going to try to be more Randy Jackson than Simon Cowell.
All right.
I mean, I might say something like, I'm not feeling it, dog. Or, you don't sound like you're having fun over there. Are you having fun?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Dog, what's going on? I might say something like that.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not going to say, Madeline.
Piece of crap.
Yeah, Madeline, there is no possibility that you will ever win this contest or any other. You should hang yourself. Yeah, I want to do something like that.
It'd be more motivating for people if they actually knew what they were going to win.
Yeah.
Well, many people are motivated by material objects. I would think it would take at least like a lawnmower or something.
No.
What do you think? You're going to get away with a cheesy T-shirt or something for this?
Well,
this is going to take some work.
No, but I think people are going to do it for the fun of it. I would do it for the fun of it. I could do it for the fun of it and exclude everybody else and there'd be no present. No prize, no...
You could have done it. I know. I understand. I get that. I know.
I could write a kicky little jingle.
You could do it in 5 minutes. Yeah. I know that. But let's remember, not everybody has that.
Do you own a lawnmower right now?
Why would I need a lawnmower?
We still offer it for a prize. You said that people want a lawnmower for a prize.
I don't have a lawnmower.
Well, then they can't get one, can they?
Wait, I hardly think we'd be giving my lawnmower away.
Oh, I thought you were offering used your, I thought item. You were offering.
Why would we give away used junk? We could, I mean,
we do that on the tax bill, don't we?
We don't give it away. We sell it.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway. Rick, right. Don't squash. That's the main
That's
thing.
Good,
start working on your jingles. We'll see what the prize is later. The main thing you're going to get is a claim. You know what you're going to get? Immortality.
Excuse me, I have to cough.
How's
that coming along?
I feel good, actually. I mean, I don't sound that great, but I feel okay.
No, you sound better.
Yeah, I've beaten it back.
Wow.
I'm a mediocre.
Okay.
This puny virus.
This seemed to have gotten you more than it usually does.
Yeah, I usually don't get very sick, but boy,
usually,
I get sick.
Usually you're just...
Saturday was my worst day, actually, after you saw me Friday. Oh,
really?
Oh. Kill me now.
Yeah.
It was that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Well,
mm-hmm.
Glad to see it's making progress.
All right, let's talk to Joey.
Let's do that. Joey, hello. Here we go. Joey.
Hello?
Hello, Joey.
Yeah, that Dave Matthews thing. You know, I was just there a couple of years ago, and a lot of people drinking and a lot of people, you know, starting trouble there and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
seem like you wouldn't be afraid to mix it up if you answer.
Yeah, I might, but the thing is, too, you know, there's no guarantee you're not getting hurt, you know?
Exactly.
You see there's bottles and stuff like that. And
yeah. If I needed you to back me up physically in some other situation, would you be willing to do that just as a listener, as a loyal listener?
In a heartbeat.
All right. Thank you, Joey. That's all I need to hear, really.
Obviously, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Should we take Bill?
That's where I get the blues. One black man living in a white man's body.
All right.
Black man driving a white man's car. I'm driving a white woman's car. A black man driving a Subaru. I need the gas.
All right, we're back. A little stereotypical, isn't it?
What, the Subaru?
Well, I mean,
the Subaru's a white woman's car, let's be honest. It's a middle-aged white woman's car.
Yeah. You tend to see women driving those.
You don't see a lot of brothers driving those Subaru.
No, I don't.
Wagon. No.
I wonder why that is.
Well, the brothers don't like them.
Why not?
Because it's a white suburban woman's car. You know, it's not a good enough
reason.
You know, I almost walked out of the house today. This is actually literally true. This is how snake-bitten I have become about all this stuff, all right? The story I'm about to tell you is true. I know it won't sound...
The names have been changed.
All the names are going to be kept the same, all right?
All right?
I'm walking out of the house today, and I turned around, and I went back in the house, and I put on a different shirt. I took off the shirt I was wearing and put on a different shirt. And here's why. Because I was wearing my Sean John shirt.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Sean John is, people may or may not know, it's a line of clothes put out by P. Diddy. He used to be my next-door neighbor.
Right.
I
wasn't aware it was your next-door neighbor. I thought
he lived on the same street.
Yeah.
And then I'm wearing Abercrombie shorts. You know, I got these Abercrombie shorts here, you know?
Very nice.
Yeah. And I know that I'll be seeing my son, whose name will be changed to Mortimer for the purposes of this story, later tonight, and that he will criticize me because this has come up in the past. And I'm wearing a Sean John shirt, which is a black man's shirt, you know, basically, and Abercrombie shorts. Well, what could be more white than Abercrombie shorts? I got these really long Abercrombie shorts. And I've been excoriated in the past about this.
Did you explain to him? I don't know. Maybe you don't have the same principle, but it's the what's clean principle, laundered kind of thing.
I don't know. I just didn't want to have a conversation with him, so I just got out of the Sean John shirt and got myself into something match up a little bit more with the Abercrombie shorts,
uh-huh.
Rather than have that conversation. It's just too hard on me. It takes too much out of me. Tomorrow on our show, we've got to dress nice tomorrow because... Is she coming in studio? She's coming in studio, isn't she? It's only a 10-minute phone interview, all right. Well, making her debut appearance on the show as a governor, anyway, will be Governor M. Jody Rell.
Oh, we'd dress up for her.
Yeah, we'd dress up for her, but I think she's only on by phone.
Yeah, she is on by phone.
Yeah. But it's been nice, you know. Yeah.
Let's be honest. I
mean,
come on.
Yeah.
A governor on this show?
Yeah. It certainly has been a long time. We have actually
could tape it and mail it in.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be an improvement over what we had before.
I mean, the big man, Lil Weicker.
Oh, yeah.
He comes on the show, but he's not governor anymore.
No.
So it has been a while.
And so anyway, we'll have a governor of Connecticut on the show tomorrow. It's pretty exciting for us.
It is.
I got a lot of questions for her. No wonder she doesn't want to come in the studio. But I mean, I'm going to try to.
This is not going to be a bloodbath.
No.
Okay.
And I think she's doing a good job. I mean, you know, there's some areas where I have some real disagreement with her. And to tell you the truth, I was looking at that. You know, she put together this new commission or blue ribbon panel or whatever it is to look into the way contracts and, are awarded and stuff like that.
Lick, do not squash.
That's good, but, you know, then again.
I didn't say it was a haiku contest, however. I said I wanted a jingle. You know, if I wanted a haiku, I mean, I would have gone to him or to tormented poet Emily Madsen. Or I mean, we could get a haiku in a number of places. I want a jingle. You know who could come up with a good jingle is Don Massey. Don Massey used to write. He was a big-time jingle writer.
Yeah, but again, I thought the idea was to have the amateur element.
Get the common ruck involved. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Let's find the next Zach Marconi out there. Whatever happened to Zach Marconi? He was
great.
He was our staff troubadour for a while.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah.
That's what we say about a lot of people.
Killed by robots, I've been told.
Yeah. Oh, that's quite possible.
The robots are turning on us. We are going to have a... We're trying to locate our staff robotics scientist, Jake Mendelson. Remember Jake?
Yep.
Yeah. Because this movie, iRobot, is out right now.
Absolutely.
How the robot...
No better place to talk about it than... No better person to talk about it than Jake.
Our vacuum cleaners want to kill us. Do we have another minute, or we have to get out? Okay.
Certainties about the selection and the advertising.
Yeah.
And that's all in the statute.
Right.
But you know what it comes down to in the final analysis? Is that the people implementing the law...
Right.
...or the people administrating it... fall down on the job. That's where the problem arises, in my mind.
Evildoers.
Because it does seem that the statutes and the regulations are pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
And to go a step further, even the ethical rules are very strong.
Yeah.
But if people are not going to follow them, well, problems arise. So I think the thing is, you've got to put the proper people in office.
Could be. One thing I've noticed about this task force?
Yes.
It's one of the biggest damn task forces ever. I mean, what do you got, like 21 people on this thing?
Yeah, it looks like the big task force is inclusive. Well, I guess her idea is to get input from various agency heads, the state auditors, legislators. I even see something in there that someone from the state's attorney's office.
Yes, well, Chris Morano himself, the big tuna at the state's attorney's office.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Yeah.
And then I see she put the Council for Ethics on there.
You may have to acquire a whole new facility just to have a place to meet. This thing is so big.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I presume they'll go off into subcommittees.
Yeah. Either that or you got to...
Look at various aspects.
You'll have to commandeer like a Sam's Club or something just to fit everybody in. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the idea is good.
Yeah.
And maybe it's something that has to be done.
It definitely has to be done. And I'm reassured...
I think you would agree with that.
We're reassured to find that the task is in good hands. And Pasquale Pepe, we thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, it's so nice you called, and it was a pleasure to be on your program.
All right. I'm sure we'll talk again in the future as things begin to come unraveled. All right.
Let me tell you, I'd be very happy to do that.
Well, we appreciate that, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. It's Pasquale Pepe, one of our guys inside the
inside guy.
He's one of our inside guys.
Yep.
And as you can see, he's prepared to cooperate, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. He knows what's good for him, anyway. There are too many people on the task force. There's 21 people. And then you start to think, why was I left off? Why was anyone left off?
Well, I was gonna make that point, because I can think of no one that would be more qualified, more bipartisan in nature, more fair, you know, impartial, and all of that stuff like that than you.
Well,
I mean, you're the man.
Clearly,
you're the it.
My mind is crawling with hate. But let me just say this. They have quite a few bipartisan people. I mean, R. Nelson Oz Griebel, president of many banks and many various commissions and stuff like this, and a man that I look to personally as a mentor, he's about as bipartisan and upstanding a fellow as there is.
Right.
Then there's a number of people in there who approach him in probity and fairness. What there aren't, and then there are some stuck-ups, some just miserable little stuck-ups.
Did you have anybody in mind?
Well, I've already mentioned one or two, but there's more, you know. And then there's some people who are there kind of ex officio, you know. But what there isn't somebody like me or Roy Occhio Grosso or Michelle Jacqueline or, you know, why don't they have somebody there who's like a troublemaker? Or they don't have anybody there who's, you know, who's going to sit there and just say horrible stuff. What are they... Put Ned Cole on the thing or something.
You need to ask those questions?
Yeah. No, I mean, I just think, you know, I think Governor Rell has shown herself that, you know, she wants to you know, have the waters run clean again. And, you know, maybe a thing to do with a gutsy move might have been to... I mean, maybe I'm missing somebody on this. You know, you pretty much have to take the day off to read the list of people who are on this thing. And 21 or so people, you know, is all we could do to get through the credentials of, you know, Pascual, Pepe, and some of the other people that we looked into. But I don't know. I don't see the real bomb thrower. And in some ways, it might have been good that I sort of picked one person. Maybe not somebody as dysfunctional as me. Because, you know, I'd be showing up drunk at the meetings and stuff. But, you know, it might have been good to have somebody who really sort of was prepared to ask the hardest possible questions. But there are people of great probity there. I have total respect for our state auditors. They're both great. You know, and R. Nelson Osgriebel is a terrific, you know, a gigantic presence. And there are other people like that. You know?
You seem to be sucking up to Oz.
Well, no, I mean, I have a long history with Oz.
Yeah.
And he's a great man. He's not in a position to do me any good because all he does now is he chairs all these things, like, you know, these boards that you can just even barely stand to think about him. I think he's like the rising star thing. I think that's him now. The New England's rising star.
That's him?
I think that's him. I think that's Oz. I can't keep him all straight. There's a lot of boards and panels and stuff like that.
I'm surprised that Matt Fleury isn't on this panel.
That's the kind of person who would get on this panel.
Yeah.
A pencil neck.
Okay. Let's tee him up.
No, that's the kind of person who's on. I think you're right. I'm amazed that he's not. Why aren't all the creeps over at CETA on this panel? You know, that's who's on this panel. But, I mean, but no, there's some good people on the panel. I don't mean to cast asparagus on the panel. There's too many people on the panel.
Yeah.
I mean,
they could use a guy like
21 people.
They could use a guy like Tad Diesel, for example.
Tad Diesel, the cable weasel?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are many people we know. But that's the kind of person who is on this panel, because Tad Diesel wouldn't make any trouble. They need at least one troublemaker. They need somebody... Well, they need somebody like me. Not exactly me. Somebody like me. Somebody like me, but with better grooming.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what I'm turning into? I'm noticing my grooming is really. I'm turning into Jeff Bridges in The Fisher King. I watched that movie again this weekend.
I don't think it's quite that bad.
You know, and eventually, really, I'm going to be lying naked out in Central Park, you know, trying to break up clouds with my brain or something. It's not a good thing.
Not it.
That's enough. You remember a woman named Cheryl Rice used to work here?
Yes, I do.
She went on to great fame with the Connecticut Humane Society, you may recall.
Is she left there now?
No, she's still there.
Oh.
I believe she may be heading the thing by now, for all I know. But I liked her, and one time when I was sick, the way I am now, she brought me soup.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
She's a very kind woman.
She's a kind woman, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, she's kept in touch with me mainly through the medium of toilets. She sends me interesting items about toilets. And so we have one here about an art installation in Switzerland. And what this is, it's an actual real toilet. It's a public toilet. An outdoor public, you know, sort of, you know, the way women, you might have sort of a temporary toilet. A porta-potty kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exterior. The walls of the toilet are, on the outside, mirrored glass all around.
Got it.
But the inside, it's like one-way glass, so you can see out. So if you're sitting inside the toilet, it looks like you're just sitting in glass walls.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see out, and you can see everybody. You can see all the people walking by on the street and stuff like that, because it's on the street corner, basically. But if you're on the outside, you can't see in. And it really is, it's an artwork. It's a work of art by an architectural artist named Monica Bonvintini. But the whole idea of it is to explore our attitudes towards excretory functions. And in other words, you know, we're uncomfortable. Are we comfortable doing this kind of thing when nobody can see us, but we can see outside? Or does even that conjure up the possibility of somebody seeing us?
I think that would conjure up the possibility of somebody seeing you.
Yeah, because you
unconsciously,
you'd be looking at the things that looks for all the world like glass, like completely mm-hmm. transparent glass. But on the outside, it's mirrored and you can't see in. But in fact, it also explores our changing attitudes. you know, as some of the notes to this installation indicate. I mean, you know, a few years ago, the idea of a woman breastfeeding her child in a public place was unthinkable.
Right.
You know, but now we're sometimes more comfortable with that.
Yes, we are.
So maybe we'll be more comfortable with some other things, or maybe there's just some barriers which we can't ever transcend. Mm. What I'm saying. But it's also...
Are you saying that perhaps at some point we'd be able to take the glass down?
I don't know.
And you'd be able to just sit there and people would walk by and look at you and
I'm
you'd
not
say,
a visionary artist.
That's okay?
No, I'm not a visionary artist. I don't know what's going to happen, but Monica Mondvincini is offering us to explore that. It's also one of the few examples of a work of art that you can poop right into.
That's good. Throw that in. It worked so well the first time around.
Yeah. Here's some other exciting stuff that's coming up. Well, we have the governor on tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And Lawrence Cohen, in his column, basically accuses her of being...
Is he on, too?
No, he won't be on.
Oh, damn!
Yeah. But he basically accuses her to use the term favored by the governor of California. He kind of calls her a girly man governor. So she's too chirpy and... So we'll invite her to show her toughness. Too much milk and cookies, he said.
I don't think this...
Too much fuzzy slippers.
I don't think you'd want to mess around there. I think she...
Too much husky bear, he says.
What does he know?
I mean, what does he know? He's a jerk. So anyway, she's going to be
well,
on.
That's certainly
and
friendly.
Then on Wednesday, one of your favorites, Teresa Pelham, will join us in studio for...
Oh, yeah, she's good. Yeah.
We like her a lot. She peps up things a little bit. She's
she's too damn peppy, right?
Yeah. And she conceives way too many children, too. That's the other
thing. Well, there's that, but...
She's like a rabbit. She's always ovulating. But,
How would you happen to know that?
Well, she's having children all the time.
She has three kids.
That's a lot.
Three.
But she's like, what is she? You know, she's too young to have three kids. So,
she's not that young.
Yeah.
What is she?
I don't know.
40?
Okay, so she's over the hill.
No, I'm just kidding.
See, now you're going to be the one who gets in trouble. You're going to have to deal with this.
No, she's not.
So anyway, Teresa Bellin will join us. Also, our consumer affairs advocate, Flora from Long Island, will be joining us also by phone on Wednesday. So get your consumer question ready. And we might even try to sort of pre-qualify a consumer question this time. Like maybe tomorrow, you know, we'll listen to a consumer question. If we think it's really good, then, you know, you'll be the... It'll be like the Card Talk guys or something. Don't they do they talk to the people in advance? I don't know.
Probably.
You kind of get that feeling that people are kind of pre-interviewed or something.
So today we're pre-qualifying people with this jingle.
Yeah, well, basically, we are looking for a jingle on our new campaign, which is Squash Don't Flick, which is it's a serious public health issue. You should not squash a mosquito on you because the mosquito has things inside it that are not in its saliva, which wouldn't get into you if you didn't squash it. And then you make the... So what we're looking for is a very brief jingle that would, you know, something like... Squash, don't flick, no, flick, don't squash, flick, don't squash. Go together, don't they? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that is just the worst.
When you squash a skeeter, it gets infected guts in your catheter. Okay, I just made that up on the spot. I'm sure people could do better than that.
Oh, my God. I'll bet.
Something along the lines there. You know, it would be like a four-line... six-line maximum, because people have to be able to remember it so that they can get up and sing it on public transportation and stuff like that. You know, we want it to get out there as a meme.
Yep.
So anyway, and so I think the big contest will be tomorrow. We'll judge the final entry tomorrow on that. By that time,
that'll be
would
horrible.
You be willing to be in charge of asking the marketing people if we could have a prize to give away?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I have so many burdens of office here. I'm crushed, by the way.
I'll take care of it.
All right.
What would you like? Anything in particular?
What would I like?
Or what would you like to give away?
No, it doesn't make any difference. These people will take anything.
Did you get the feeling... Yeah. You were watching them move this house?
Yep.
The thing might, like, break loose and just, like, take off and...
The roadhouse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like go down the street and start careening off cars.
On the agenda, something like that, yeah.
Is
I didn't
actually
watch them move the house.
I saw some videotape of it last night on one of the fine television news.
Downloading this video?
No. TV.
Construction porn?
No. Television. Right. Television news.
We have Rick from Weathersfield. He's already got a jingle.
Is this fair?
I don't know. Let's take a listen to it. We don't have a lot of rules here. It's like,
yeah,
the Wild West. It's the frontier.
Yeah.
The rules are what we decide there.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk to Rick.
Rick?
Rick, are you
Rick?
There?
Yeah. I'm here.
Okay. Do you have a jingle already?
Yeah.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay. I got to sing this, though.
Well, that's what they do with jingles, is sing them, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Spoken word jingles aren't that popular.
Oh, you guys are funny. Okay, here it is. When you see a mosquito and he lands on you, your first reaction is not the thing to do. I know you want to hurt him the way he hurt you, but if you squash him, then baby, you're through. He'll get into your system, mess with your chemistry. This is according to the JMAE. The doctors have warned you, so you better take heed. Because if you don't, my friend, you'll push up daisies. Yippee-yi-yo, now yippee-yi-yay. Flick them, don't squash them. Mosquitoes, ole.
Well, did you? Yeah, I think
that's actually pretty good.
It's pretty good, but it might be offensive to our Latino listeners that you sing it in that kind of Speedy Gonzalez accent there.
That's okay.
Well, I don't think it is okay. I mean, didn't they have to cashier the Frito Bandito? Wasn't the Frito Bandito ultimately judged to be an offensive stereotype?
And they dropkicked that dog off the Taco Bell commercials, too.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that's right. The Taco Bell, didn't they pull the plug on him?
They pulled the plug on him.
Was that because he was offensive?
I had a license to create freely in the United States of America.
Well, that's true. But, you know, but we have to have a modicum of political correctness. The other thing I would say about your jingle, you might want to refine it over tonight. You know, take a few, 3 or 4 hours. It's too long, and I'm not feeling it, dog. And it's complicated. I think it needs to be more simple, because people have to be able to remember it. Because we really want people to be able to, you know, if they're at a barbecue or something like that, and they see somebody squashing a mosquito, they could just lean over and say, da 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 ba 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 da da blah blah woof woof, and you know, and then it's over.
Right.
You know, but your thing goes on like, you know,
for about a week.
We don't want MacArthur Park as our jingle.
No, come on, it's like a minute. I have to listen to you guys every day.
Well, you have a point.
That's torture.
You have a point. There's no way I can refute that. You certainly have us on the road to that. Anyway, thanks for calling, Rick.
All right. So Rick is to refine that and then call us back tomorrow?
Well, actually, Rick should just
forget about it. Just go to another line of work.
Yeah. Or keep his current line of work.
Well, yeah, but yeah. I mean, don't go into the jingle business.
Yeah. I just don't think we can have, you know, a Speedy Gonzalez type jingle about mosquitoes. First of all, mosquitoes aren't Latino. The fact that the name sounds a little bit Latino, I don't think mosquitoes have an ethnicity. And associating them.
Are we talking now? God, am I going to hate myself for even bringing this up?
Yeah.
Are we talking specifically mosquitoes, or are we talking just flying insects in general?
Mosquitoes.
Okay.
Yeah.
These would be the little small ones.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not the big flies.
No, those are flies.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I call them, flies, because they're flies.
I got it.
But they're not mosquitoes.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what to do about the big flies. All I know is, all right, here's Kathy from East Adam. Do we have time to get her jingle on?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. If it's like Rick's, we might not have time.
This isn't like Inagata the Mosquito, like Rick's, where it goes on for 27 minutes, right? Hi,
Hello.
Kathy.
Hi.
Hi. I have a two-line jingle to the tune of Yes, We Have No Bananas.
All right. Let's hear it.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Flick, don't spot that mosquito. Don't spot that mosquito. Just flick. What do you think?
That's not bad.
It's nice. It's concise. But it seems to me that you need a second two lines so you rhyme something.
Well, you just told her not to be long.
I know, but that's just too short.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, it is short and it is sweet. But it doesn't really rhyme or anything like that, dog. You know what I'm saying, dog? Dog, are you having fun doing this?
Give it a shot.
Okay. But you don't sound like you're having fun, dog.
Have a good day.
All right, bye. All right. Thank you for your entry.
Yeah.
That's too minimalist.
That's too little?
Yeah. The first one's too long. I feel like Goldilocks, but the first one was too long, the second one was too short.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that we're dealing here with somebody who's rather particular.
Well, I know. When,
first of all, you have a prize.
I said 4 to 6 lines. That's what I said.
Yeah.
So what I got from...
It's not like we're giving these people a television set or something. I mean, it's going to be some cheesy... You know what it'll be.
Yeah.
some cheesy hat or something like that, or a T-shirt or something like that.
So what I got from Rick was Speedy Gonzalez the mosquito, you know, set to the meter of Casey at the bat or something.
I got that. That doesn't win anything. But I think that one had possibilities. Kathy's had possibilities.
It's too short.
But it had possibilities.
Yeah,
she could perhaps work on it overnight and maybe call back tomorrow.
You've got possibilities, maybe even work that in somehow.
Yeah. That would be unfair. See, so you're giving people ideas.
It's the concept of mosquito, though. I mean, we have to go. We have to take a break. We're getting bogged.
Please call us
tomorrow.
All right. Sue?
Hello, Sue.
Hello.
Good hello to you, too. Let's hear your jingle. Just to set this on once again for the people just tuning in, it actually is true as a public health matter that you shouldn't squash a mosquito that's on your flesh. You should flick it away, otherwise you wind up squashing things that are inside its guts into you and you can die. All right, go ahead. Sing your jingle.
All right. Song to the tune of Happy Birthday.
Oh, okay.
If you hate Lyme's disease, here's our little trick. When mosquitoes land on you, don't squash them, just flick.
That is excellent. That's excellent. However, Lyme disease is spread by ticks, not mosquitoes.
You can't win.
You just can't win.
Well, I'm not saying that we need good hard science here, exactly. I know, I would agree. You know, there's some room for artistic license. But, you know, I don't want the health department calling me up and saying, well, what is all this stuff in your jingle? What is all this stuff about Lyme disease? You know,
we could perhaps replace Lyme disease with, you know, or take that out and put something else in.
Right. If you hate viral necrosis, something like that.
Yeah,
we'll work on it. We're certainly keeping you on the list, and our people will call your people. All right, thank you very much, Sue. Bye.
You have no intention of calling her ever again. Why did you say that?
This whole day will be a blank to me by tomorrow anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
So what should we say to all of these people who've called today? Perhaps call back tomorrow?
Maybe. I don't know.
Make improvements? Call us tomorrow?
We're going to let life unfold. That's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. By tomorrow, we'll probably have a cheesy prize.
Yeah. Now, and I don't have a very funny joke, though.
I'm all for the poker scrubs.
I don't have a very funny joke to open up this segment, but it's mainly because my hammy is bothering me.
Uh-oh.
It's time for Sports Artois, the very French sports discussion segment of Mr. Ambrosio, Mr. Bruce Stevens, and myself.
Louis Gondelamere.
Well, if that's the case, we're not going to let you start, and we're not even going to let you designate a joke. Because Terry Francona is laying the law down.
Now, what is going on?
Tonight, we'll see how Bronson Arroyo does. He had a good game the last start.
Yankee pitching
stinks, too, by the way.
It's time for our Ask Mr. Ambrosio question.
Good.
Which is not very good today because the computers aren't working.
I'm not sure the answer will be good.
Also, my hammy's bothering me. So.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
we have a staff trainer who could work on you.
Dear Mr. Ambrosio, I've read somewhere that elephants can actually compose music, but I have a pet elephant and it doesn't seem to be able to tell the difference between disco and Mozart. Is it true? Do elephants understand music?
Yes, they do, but elephants now are far less likely to be able to compose a song for you. And here's why. Because the elephants of the early years, prehistoric times, and then probably till about the 1600s, had a much easier system of feeding. And as they ingested the food, the matter would go up into their brain cavities, and it would allow them to understand music and do a better job of composing the music. And the way they would compose the music, you'd probably say, well, Joe, you moron, elephants can't talk. Well, elephants can talk to one another. And the elephants would compose songs to one another, little ditties, ballads, that sort of thing. But now, since most elephants that we know of are in captivity, they're not being fed the proper food.
You blame it on the commercial elephant
chain. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Elephants just not being treated as well.
Yeah, the Purina stuff that they
pretty much, the crap that they're eating is not very good for them. So that's why elephants' composition of music is not very good, and elephants' composition of other stuff isn't very good either.
Bruce and Colin shall return.
Well, according to this civil rights settlement announced by the Justice Department, some black customers were experiencing discrimination at Cracker Barrel restaurants. Mm-hmm. Some were segregated, others were refused service by white waiters. And Cracker Barrel said, well, we are called Cracker Barrel, aren't we? You can't say we didn't warn you.
Hey, you're going to like this. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Rich.
I wanted to make a comment about asking Mr. Ambrosia and whether elephants could understand music.
Yes.
And I just wanted to bring to the attention that probably the finest, or at least one of the finest singers of all time, was in fact Elephant Gerald.
Well, that's excellent. That's excellent. Please don't ever call again with anything like that, please. The show's already in trouble. All right, our numbers are now, so you can call up with things like that.
I'm not even sure we can go on after
that. 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC. You know, on Friday, we had the distinguished anthropologist, Dr. Helen Fisher, or as Bobby calls her, Helen,
What did you talk to her for, like a week before she got on the air?
He goes, yeah, yeah, what are you going to see? You going to see iRobot this weekend? anyway, we had her on to talk about sort of the anthropological meaning of hair and whether it's significant that somebody like John Kerry would make as sort of a joke, you know, would say, we have better hair than the other guys.
Bruce and Colin shall return.
We are the radio station of unconfirmed animals. And the latest thing is that two New Hartford guys, I think they see the lynx. Why is New Hartford like the portal from another dimension
exactly.
or something? But for strange animals, anyway, New Hartford is clearly some kind of weird portal for some kind of stargate is happening there. And the latest thing is that these two guys think that they each have independently seen a lynx, and they've measured the tracks and all this kind of stuff. And then Paul Rego from DEP, who comes on the show all the time, and he never believes it, no matter what. If somebody they saw a gray squirrel, Paul Rego will say, well, we don't have those in Connecticut.
There might have
been. I don't know where this email would have gone.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't have an email this week.
Do we have time for this?
Let's see.
All right, Betsy, hi. Quickly.
Hey, Betsy, real fast.
Don't toothbrush that mosquito that had so sucking pot. Just watch it about your head to your pinky toe. He's just on the body.
Are there other people in the bar who are singing with you? There sounds like there's more than one person singing.